Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Nida Chav Gimel. We are holding around 15 lines off the top. V'chein Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba. He quotes Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So this goes back to the yesterday's discussion. She miscarried, discharged something which has a formation of a behema or chayavoyf, not a very human-like looking entity. According to the Chachamim, it's not considered a valid vlad to the extent that it would require her to observe the yimei tumah, the yimei tahara, the count, the post-birth count. Some days tame, some days no, because it doesn't really qualify as a birth. Unless it has human-like, substantial portion of human-like features. According to Rav Meir, yeah, that's true by other blobs and globs and masses, but if it appears like a behema chayv oif, that has status. Why? So we had the reason yesterday, and this is going to be echoed by Rabbi Yechanan as well. V'chein of Rabbi Chiya. I'll tell you why Rav Meir considers this to be something of status. Because we find the term Yitzira, formation, linked to the creation of Behema Chai Vaif, just like we find that same term by the Adam, by the human being. There's some similarity in terms of their levels of development. In any case, it has validity and she's considered a birther. The mother is. Amali Rabbi Ami. If that's the case, Elmiyatam Apelas Mushar Imoitmei Aleda. So if she discharges a formation, a mountain-like formation, so she should be Tami Leda, it's like a birth, because we find, should never find a pasuk that relates the word Yoitzer to the mountains. Shenemar Gina Yoitzer Harim Beiruach. Amarles, he says, practically Har Mikam Mapelas. She giving birth to a mountain? It's a small thing, not a mountain. Even he did come a pelas. At most, it's just a, looks like a stone, as she says, a chatichas basar, but mus evans, like a stone-like, looking mass of tissue. That's not a mountain. How about gush ikri? That has a different name. It's called a gush, a mass. Even if it's, triangular shaped, it's like a mountain. It's called a mass, not called a mountain, so it's not really something of status. Elabayata says the Gemara, okay, so once again, another question. If she gives birth to ruach, to air, meaning there's a sack which is just, filled with air. Imoy, tehi imoy tamei leida, she should be tamei leida. Hoyel v'nemer by Bria ka'adam, we find the term Bria, creation, regarding wind. Tachsiv ubayri ruach. Well, chiteva, perhaps they'll say, la'ilay mufna. It's not an available word. And we concluded yesterday that we're only connecting things to Adam which cannot be challenged. And that's only by way of a gzeirah shava, that's mufna. Meaning that the words are unneeded for other purposes, intended for the Gzeirah Shava only, which makes it as though it's clearly articulated in the Torah. You can't refute it. It's there. It's written. Otherwise, you can draw a line between Adam, who to begin with had a higher capacity for Tumah. He becomes Tami even during his lifetime, as opposed to other creatures, only with Tami after death. So for that reason, we can only link words that are Mufna. And over here, the word Ubayre doesn't seem to be extra. Echitema, Loi Mufna. Perhaps you'll respond by saying it's not extra. But it is. Because take a look at the pasuk again. Ki hine yoitzeir harim uveire ruach. Forms the mountains, creates the wind. You have to say yoitzeir harim and uveire and creates the ruach, the air. You could have packaged them both together under the same banner. Could have said Yoitzer Harim v'ruach. Hashem formed the mountains and the air. Uksiv, but it splits it. Instead, it says Ubayri ruach. It's an extra word. Shmona lafnu. That's a mufna. In which case, it allows us a clear route to Gzeirah Shavah between itself and the Adam. And just like Adam is Metamei Leida, likewise Ruach. So why don't we? Why don't we say, just like an Isha gives birth to a human, she counts 2 months later, same thing with giving birth to this Ruach. Amar Leis, he says, well, where's that Pasuk again? That's in Amos. That's in Ksuvim. We don't make a Gzeirah Shavah from Chumash to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Amar Leis Donin, we learn Divrei Torah, Mi Divrei Torah, one word from the other word in the Torah, but V'ein Donin Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah. We don't learn Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah. So we can't make a Gzeirah Shavah from words in Nevi'im, and therefore Pelas Ruach is absolved from 2 months later. Okay, so that was the first explanation why, according to Rav Meir, she's Mapelas, something which appears like a behema, there's 2 months later, because the Torah articulates it as Yetzira, which is a similar term that's found by the human, which allows for that link, that Gzeirah Shavah. Here comes another pshat. Rav Abba Bar Chama, Omar, he calls Rav Yechon. How many times did Rav Meir? I'll tell you why Rav Meir applies status to a Mapelas behema. Because in their eyes, they resemble human eyes. And the eyes are the predominant feature in a person's face, an animal's face. That's indicative of everything. Their eyes are similar to human eyes. Rashi explains, what does that mean? The iris have a ogle. Behemok shel adam is round. Just like by human, likewise by behemoth. But dogim, fish, we said are certainly exempted from 2 months later, even according to Rav Meir, because Rashi says it's not round. Elamiata, okay, if that's the factor to consider, Pelas Dmus Nachash, what if she's Mapa, something which looks like a snake, Tehe Imoi, Tmei Leida, there as well, should have status. However, Galgal Eino Yagul Kshon, because the socket is also round. So he has eyes that resemble an Adam, why not compare him? Okay, so maybe that's true. Who says we exempt Inachash? Well, this is Inachash, and why didn't the Mishnah specify that she has 2 months later by shedding Inachash? Itan Inachash, well, maybe Inachash is in. The reason why the Mishnah did not mention it, because there would be room for confusion. Hava Amina would say, but Inachash is speaking of another Rameir, like Sebe Yitzira, maybe the Rabbanon, who disagree with Rav Meir, that's only limited to the snake because it has no Lashon Yetzira alongside it. Aval Behema B'chaya, like Pligva Behema B'chaya, where there's Yetzira mentioned, which enables that linkage to the Adam, the Gzeirah Shavah, perhaps they don't disagree on that. Lashon Yetzira? Okay, so maybe it is true. Just as Rav Meir applies status to Behemah B'chai Vayv, maybe by Nachash as well, because of the similarity in the eyes. Says the Gemara, how could you say that the eye of a Behemah is comparable to the eye of a human? We have a Mishnah by blemishes of a Bechor, where we find listed among those blemishes is if the animal's eyes resemble human eyes. Apparently it's not meant to resemble. Well, Gabi Mumin, regarding the blemishes, Ketanah, it's listed amongst the blemishes. Esher galgal einoi ogul kishal adam. So if his socket, the eye socket is round like a person, that's a problem. Akashi answers like this. Yeah, the socket should not be round. But the black part should. Haba uchma. The black part of the eye is meant to be round, all round. By the adam, by the him, haba tziria. Whereas by the socket, by the human it's round, but by the animal it's not meant to be round. Rabbi Yani Amar, here comes yet a third explanation why Rabbi Meir applies status to a woman who's mapel, behema chayvoif. Hainu, time Rabbi Meir, let me give you the amazing reason. And again, it relates to the eyes, but instead of the shape, we're speaking about the where they're located. Hoyul veinim hoychos lifneim kishal adam, since by behema, by chaya, their eyes are situated forward, in front of their, you know, face, similar to a human being. as opposed to, Rashi says, opposed to the dogim, where their eyes are off to the side, and same thing with the snake. Asks the Gemara, so that applies to behema and chaya, I understand. What about fowl, birds? They don't have two eyes in the front. Vari oiv, de'ein einav holchos lafonav, his eyes aren't on the front. V'kamar meir, the tamer meir considers it tame. If she lays this, if she discharges this, Amar Abaye, you're right. All eifas are out. Bekari v'kifufa. The only eifas that are considered for 2 months later, that's the kari v'kifufa. Some sort of owl, type creatures, whose eyes are situated forward. Ubishar eifas loy. So you're telling me that even Ramey would agree by other eifas. They have no status because their eyes are not situated like a human. Meisei comes a kashan abayi who discounts oifos from Tumas Leda, even contra Meir, Rabbi Chanina, Ben Antignas, Aymer, Nirin, Divra Meir, Vehim of Achaya. So I'll adopt Ramir's position that applies to Tumas Leda. She's mapa something which resembles a Vehim of Achaya. But I'll take the Rabbanan's position by oifos. Apparently, oifos too are subject to machlekes. Vil Dibra Chacham ba'ifis, says the Gemara, my ifis. Which birds was he talking about? Ilayim, was he talking specifically about the owls? Bekari, bekifufa? So then, why would he adopt the Chacham's opinion by the owls and Ramir's opinion by the behemoths if their eyes are situated in similar fashion? Ma'ishna behem v'chayah. Why is it that when it comes to Behem V'chaya, over there he adopts Rameir's opinion. There is Tumas Leda. Why? Because of the eyes. Enein, Hulchas, Lefneim, Shalom, like a human. Well, Kari, Kifufa, Nami, the owls as well. Elab, Shid, B'shar, Oifes. Oh, apparently. When he says, I side with the Rabbanon and discount the birds, that's other birds. Apparently, even other birds are subject to Machlevis. And even by the other birds, Rameir applies Tumas Leda, unlike what Abaye told us, that it's limited to owls. Elab, Shid, B'shar, Oifes. Mechlad Rameir Polig, Bishar Oifis. Apparently, Rameir disagrees on the other birds as well. Oh, hold it, says the Gemara. No, we have to revise the Brisa and modify it in a way that will be consistent with what we said. Chesure Mechasra. The Brisa is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words. You read it like this. Rebbe Chanina and Tignasa. Niren Divrameir, Behem Vachaya. Wouldn't the cover of Kifufa? Truth is, I adopted Rameir's opinion when it comes to behemoth, chai, even owls. Same thing. Because, it's plausible to me this point that the where the eyes are situated, that determines. V'divrei chachamim b'shar eifos. But I go with the chachamim. By other birds. Because guess what? There's no machlekes by the other birds. So Divrei Chacham means even Ramey would agree to the Chacham when it comes to other birds because they're lacking that human-like eye feature. Shafra b'meir l'nechal ka'imayim ela b'kari b'kifuf. Even Ramey only took his position when it comes to owls. Abba b'shar o'ifis ma'idah, but he agrees on the other birds. And this is consistent by his approach. In fact, we have a braisa that supports this point. That even Ramey would agree regarding other oifos who are lacking this eye feature. Batanya of a brisa, Amar Blazer of Tzadik, Hampelas, and Behema, Vechaya. So if she miscarries something which appears like Behema Vechaya, does it activate the Tumas Leda process? It depends. Udivrei Rabbi Meir Vlad, Kontra Meir has validity. Udivrei Chachamim, no, Ene Vlad. Now, when it comes to oifos, that was behemah v'chayah. When it comes to the oifos category, tibodik, it has to be inspected. What does that mean? Well, not tibodik. Why are we inspecting it? Who's speaking here? Lav l'divrei Rameir, apparently, according to Rameir. The Amor tells us, well, even I'm only limited to karya v'kifufa, and only that. Shar oifos like other birds, not. So you have to check which type it is. Amar Rav Acha b'd Rav Ika, loy. No, who says that's the correct understanding of the price? Tibadak l'Rabbanu, perhaps it should be examined according to Rabbanu. D'amri kari v'kifufa in sharifas loy. That they are matai by other birds, but are matami by the kairi kifufa. So perhaps Rav Meir applies his rule all across the board, all types of birds. It's Rabbanu make that distinction. Other birds not, but kairi kifufa yet. Now why? Why would they say that kairi kifufa have status? Why would it be different than other creatures which are absolved? Umayishna kairi kifufa. Why are they more unique? Why they have higher status than any other animal, behema v'chaya, which don't have status? The answer is because they have very specific features which are very distinctly human-like. Their cheeks, chol v'yesh lan nesasos, they have these jaws, these cheeks, ka'adam, which appear human-like. Right, they have these, you know, vertical cheeks which are resemble a human face. And that's unique to kairi v'kifufa. So therefore, even the Rabbanan would apply tumas leida there, which they wouldn't by other behemoth v'chayis. Okay, so bottom line, we have three ways to understand the machlokes. We between Rav Meir, who says that an issue is mapal behemoth chay v'oif, there's tumas leida, versus the Rabbanan who say there's no tumas leida. One shot is Yitzira. We have Yitzira by Behema Chai Va'if. We Yitzira by the Adam, make a linkage. And we apply Tumas Leida over to the other items as well. We have second shot, that the shape, the eye shape, resembles the human eye. And then we have the third shot, also related to eyes, but not in terms of shape, rather in terms of positioning, the fneim, it's in the front of the face. And according to Abaye, even Rav Meir would only apply this to kariya v'kifufa, who share that feature. Here comes an interesting question, that Rav Yirmi asked Rav Zera. Soon the Gemara will tell us, it was just meant to get him. Rav Zera was known to be extra strict regarding, living with the churban beis hamikdash, living with that feeling of constant, mourning, would be very hesitant to break out and smile and laughter. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu wanted to lighten him up a little bit, so he asked him a very unique question, hoping to get him, to chuckle a bit. Of course, within the context of learning and halacha, but it was still a pretty peculiar presentation. Here goes. Rav Meir, I have a question to ask of you. According to Rav Meir, the Amu says, "Behema, b'meiyish avlad ma'aliyu." The fact that he applies tumas leida, Phoenicia's mapel edmos behema. Apparently, the behema b'meiyish inside the mother, the human mother, has vlad status. To a certain extent, has child status. So in that case, I have a question. We know that a father can marry off a daughter, right? The Torah authorizes the father to accept the kedushin, the ring, on account of the daughter, even if she's yet unborn. What if he paired her up with a chasna at this stage? I mean, it turns out that his wife gave birth to this behema-looking creature, and he was already makabel kedushin while the mother was expecting. Does that condition take hold or not? Is this entity, does it have human status or not? According to our mayor, perhaps yes. Just like there's tumas leida, that's considered a valid vlad, so perhaps she's considered an isha regarding kedushin. Kibo bo avia kedushin. Ma, what's the status of the kedushin? Rav Kamina, what's the point of asking this question? Tesis points out that we assume that she's not going to survive. It's not really relevant to herself. The question will be, Manav Kamina Litsuri Bachois. So Reuven, who handed the father kedushin on account of this so-called daughter, what's his status regarding her sister? Typically, you don't marry a wife's sister. Well, it depends. If the kedushin took effect, then her sister is achos isha, and at erva he can't approach her. But if the kedushin has no validity, then he can go and approach the sister. Says the Gemara lemeimer the chaye. So hold it. She's probably not going to live long term. Tesis points out, but she's even going to live a little bit to the point that we have to discuss the sister, because we know that the prohibition against marrying a wife's sister is limited to the wife's lifetime. Here she's not surviving anyways. Considered a vlad regarding tumah, it's only because even though this particular entity won't survive, an animal-like creature coming from a human, it's not a surviving entity. So why do we give it status? Because ubemina miskam, because its species has survivability. Right? We have this goat-looking feature, creature. Well, goats in general survive, so that's what gives it status. But it in itself certainly has no chance of survival. So it was sort of a trivia question, which doesn't really have much practicality. And the reason why he even pursued it wasn't, in all seriousness, it was more to get him to Amar Bach Bar Yaakov. I'll tell you why he even presented the question. Adkan, all this endeavor, all this effort was just to get Rav Zera to give a little chuckle, to get him to simcha a little bit. Havioi Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah attempted to lead him on, the Gichoch, a bit of, laughter, but Rav Zera stood his ground and resisted it. He held that it's not the appropriate time, in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he maintained his posture. Gufa. Okay, let's go back. Once we're on the case, let's go back to this statement. Amar Bidom Arab. Le'amor Arab Meir. Even Rav Meir only applied to Masleda to the Behema Chayva, it's coming out of a human. Elohil B'minim Eskayim, because its type in general can survive. Goats survive. Sheep survive. But this in itself will not survive. Amar Yerim Yedifti. I'll even prove this to you from a Mishnah, that this behemoth-like creature being born by a human, doesn't really survive. So we have a Mishnah back in Bechoyres. There are two types of Bechoyres, right? There's the Bechoyres firstborn for the point of Pidyon HaBen. And then we have the firstborn regarding getting the double portion of the father's inheritance. And sometimes it comes together, but sometimes not. Sometimes you can have, he's a Bechor regarding this and not regarding that. Because really, there are two aspects of firsthood. There is the Peter Rechem, first one that went through the system, came out of the, that's the Bechor for the Kohen, for the Pidyon HaBen. Regarding the Bechor for the father's Yerusha, that more depends on father's emotional connection. So if it's a viable child, and right? So we have a Mishnah, Apelles. Oh, our story. She's Mapel Kimin Behem Machayva Oif. Now this this first, born is certainly not going to be considered Bechor for inheritance, because he's not there's not a chance of surviving, which is a prerequisite for Bechor for Nachla. But technically he's the firstborn, so regarding the Pidyon HaBen requirement, that's it was him, and the one behind him will no longer be eligible for Pidyon HaBen, right? Because like we said, Pidyon HaBen depends on physically who came out first, and since the one behind him is number two, and despite the fact that he's following a non-viable entity who in itself doesn't have Pidyon HaBen, nevertheless the second one is exempt from Pidyon HaBen. Vlad Ma'al Yehu. So the number one, first one, the Min Behema Chayvoy, has status of Vlad, to the point that he exempts the one following him from Pidyon HaBen, the Rav Meir. Okay, so Rav Meir is in line with his opinion by us as well, that even though it does not have a human-like presentation, it has status of a Vlad, as considered Peter Rechem. But Chacham, they disagree. Ad Shehebe Mitzuras Adam has to have human-like features, human-like facial features. But in absence of those features, he's disregarded. it's not considered a birth. In which case, the one that follows him, he's considered firstborn regarding all matters. Mishnah continues. Hamapela's sandal. Suppose she sheds something called a sandal, solid like a mass. We noticed the other day that's a fetus that somehow got crushed and his facial features got all, squished. Oh, you show you, or she releases this placenta, the sac, a sphere, or this, fetus, shell. Muruka, whose limbs are somewhat discernible. Or it's a mechutach, or you have a baby, unfortunately, had to be dismembered, I guess to save the mother's life, as he was being taken out. In all these cases, these are considered births to some extent, and therefore the one behind them is not eligible for Pidin HaBen. HaBa'achra, the one that comes following this one, Bechor LaNachla, is firstborn regarding the father giving him double inheritance. Because as we said, the first one doesn't count for that purpose, because he's not viable, he's not going to survive. But the second one is not considered b'chayr for the kohen regarding Pidin HaBen, because Peter Rechem already occurred on the first experience. Okay, end quote. Says the Gemara, how are we going to prove from here that an issue is ma'apel of b'heim machay v'oif that has no chance of survival, like we said before? Because if you're going to say otherwise, that he has a chance of survival, so why does Mishnah say that the one behind him is considered firstborn regarding inheritance? Why? Why is the second one a b'chor l'nachl? First one's a survivor. He's a living entity. He's viable. I'm a rabbi l'olam d'chay. No. You can't prove from here that the first one can't survive. Maybe he could survive. Unlike what we said before. And still, I'll explain to you why. The one that comes after him, he will get a double portion. You know why? Because like we said before, Pishnayim for the Bechor, father granting double portion is sort of something which he identifies with. It is a birth which would trigger mourning if there would be a termination of that life. Not so when it's an animal-looking creature. Father doesn't relate to it emotionally. He wouldn't mourn on its passing. Therefore, there's no inheritance, no double inheritance. Shani Hossam, there is different regarding Yerusha. There needs to be an element of emotional connection. The Pasuk says, Reishis Oina. We learn Oina is Lashon of Aninos, mourning. Misha Liba Dove Olav. Only a child whose father would be saddened upon his passing. He's called a Bechor regarding Yerusha. Yotzah says, opposed to this behema looking creature, Shane. We believe Allah, father, doesn't really connect to it, he wouldn't mourn, and therefore is not eligible for Pishnai. Okay, an interesting discussion here regarding the issue of Mapo, the Behemah Chayv Oif. We explained that he's not really a survivor, but the Min is Miskayim, that's why he has status. We try to bring the right from the Mishnah, which didn't really, really pan out. Boy Minei Rav Ada Bar Ava, he had a question, may I buy it? Back to the Shaila, Rav Meir, the Amor says, Behemah Meisha Vlad Malyu. Okay, so this behemoth-looking creature coming out of the mother has status. But Malyu, let's reverse the story. What will happen if it's Adam b'mei behemoth mai? A behemoth gives birth to an Adam. So shall we say, just like Adam giving birth to a behemoth is considered her vlad, likewise, a behemoth carrying something which appears like a human also has Vlad Behemoth status. Now, what's the point of asking this question? Behemoth doesn't have halachic obligations of Tumas Ledo, so what's the point of asking? Not of Kamina, what's the point of asking? Lishturi Bechila, can we eat this entity? So, if you discover, actually, if you found the Yeshachta of the mother animal, you discover this human-like looking entity in her. So typically, it's called a ben pekua, right? If you shech the mother animal, you find that unborn fetus, you can eat it without shechita. It's sort of covered by the mother's shechita. In this case as well, even though it's dissimilar to the mother in looks, Does it hurt vlad? Is it like a behemoth? You can eat it. And the viewer explains that only considering when you found it inside, but once it's born, he said, of course you can't eat it because it's not going to survive. It's like a trefo. You can't eat it. Okay, so you discovered inside the mother. What's the status? Says the Gemara, I have an answer for you. Why can't we resolve this question based on Rabbi Yechanan's state? On Rabbi Yechanan, Hashoch the Behema. He spoke about a similar case. Not you found a human inside, but you found a bird-like creature inside a cow. Hashoch the Behema. He shechted a cow. But they find a dove-looking thing. Asur b'achil, they can't eat it. Apparently, since there's a mismatch in terms of appearance, in terms of, you know, species, it's not covered in by the mother shechita. It's like a foreign entity in there. Well, it's worse off. Hachiyashta, way worse there. Hasam, over there, it doesn't have animal-like features. It doesn't have, you know, hooves and legs. It doesn't look like an animal. Like process ika, like parsika. It doesn't have the split hooves, process, and even a single hoof. It doesn't have properly configured legs. It's not like an animal. Like parsika, hacha, but here, by the animal, we discovered a human-like, you know, feature inside. And he, the process, like a true, it's not split hooves like a, you know, like a cow, but it has some similarity in terms of its configuration. Parsamik, it has a single, you know, hoof, a single leg, so to speak, and maybe it's close enough. And it's considered part of the mother entity, and you could eat it through the shechita of the mother. So we sort of left it hanging. This is all Rav Meir speaking. Behema and Aisha is considered somewhat of a vlad to the extent that there's Tumas Leida, etc. etc. We had several reasons for it. We defined it. We explained it. Betuv Tan Vadas. Now the Shita is Chacham. They disagree. No. Unless it looks like a human, we discount it. Says the Gemara, we have to tweak their discussion even further. We have to understand that their machlekes isn't so extreme like we thought. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Bar Abba, Amar Rav, HaKol Moedim, all agree. Even Rav Meir would discount it in the following case. If they're so extreme in their appearance, they're so different in the way they look. HaKol Moedim, all agree. Gufay Taish, upon of Adam. Adam, on the one hand, if the behemoth-like entity discovered in the that was discharged by the mother, the general body, you know, configuration is of a goat. Upon of Adam, with a face, which is the most critical, pivotal, you know, feature, appears human-like, then all agree it's an Adam. Certainly has human status. And there's Tumas Leida. On the other hand, Kufa Yadam upon of Taish Leiklum. The body looks like an Adam, but the face like a Taish, like a goat. Of course it's nothing. Even Rami would agree that it's not worth it. Lenechleku. Machlekes is somewhere in the middle. He's partly resembling a person. He has some human features. His face has a human-like look. But only on sort of on one side. One eye looks human, the other one looks like a behemoth. Your mayor says, well, that's enough. As long as it's partially like an Adam, that's enough. And the behemoth side sort of blends into the Tzuras Adam. And half a face is enough. The Chacham Aimim called Tzuras Adam. It's to be fully human looking. The whole face. Now, some of us may explain that this is actually a new approach to the Machlekes. Contrast to what we had earlier, that Rebbeir holds Yitzira, that Behemoth in all cases has status because in itself has Chashivas, has status because of the connection to the Yitzira of the Adam. Here we have a different approach, that even Rebbeir would concede that it has to have some human-like features to be given status. So according to Rebbeir, partial, half is enough, Chamayim, the whole face, called Tzuras Adam. Amalai Amr loy, le Rav Yirmiyah be'Abba. So the Chacham responded to him, "Va'ifchatanya." You're saying it like this. We have a brisa going the other way, just the opposite. Rami Oimer Kotsuras. Rami says that all you need is coal, a little bit. Even some element of human feature is enough. You don't have to have half the face. And you say half. The Chacham Oimerim Mi Tzuras. Chacham say it has to be me, it has to be a substantial portion of the face, half the face. So according to this Braisa, we up it one notch. According to Rameir and according to Rabbanu. According to Rameir, even a little human-like feature is enough to get 2 months later. You don't have to have half the face. And according to Chachamim, half the face is enough. You don't need the full Amar Lo, Tanya Tanya. He says, okay, if you found a Braisa like that, fine. But my version was from Rav. That was his... So bottom line, we have basically three, you know, levels to speak of. A minor element of Adam, more substantial, half the face, and completely human-like looking. So again, according to Rav, Ramirez says half the face, Chacham say full. According to the Braisa, Ramirez says even some human element, and according to Chachamim, needs to be at least halfway, you know, half the face, appearing like an adam. Amar Rav Yirmiya, Bar Ab, Amar Rav Yechanan. We speak about facial features. What's included? He quotes Rav Yechanan. You know, the ears are not included. That's not, you know, part of the actual face. Metzach, the forehead, Vagvinim, the eyebrows, very naim, and the eyes, the sasis, and the cheeks, the gabas hazaken, the area of the, you know, the chin. Ach yukum ke'echad. They all have to resemble a human, you know, human face. But the errors are not required. Rav Amar, he quotes a chacham by the name of Chasa. He says, you don't need both. Metzach v'hagavin, one eyebrow. V'ayin, one eye. V'alesis. So basically, one side of the face has to be human-like. The eyebrow there, the eye there, the cheek. V'gavas hazaken, one side of the chin. Ach yukum ke'achas. Until they're all human-like in their appearance. Only then does it count. But you don't need both sides of the face. Really, there's no machlekes between Chasa and Rabbi Yechanan. They're just sort of adopting the opinions that we discussed before. Ha, Commander Omar, called Suras. So Rabbi Yechanan says they need the full face, both sides. That's according to the opinion. The Chacham require the full face. On which Rabbi Yechanan adds, you should know that the ears are not required. Ha, Commander Amar Mitzuras. Whereas Chasa, who spoke about one-sided features, that's regarding the other Shita, which says Mitzuras, that you need to have half the face. Right? So to which he adds and explains exactly what that means. The ears are not included. So they're not really arguing with each other, just defining the opinions that we had before. Maisvei comes to Kasha. Tzuras panim she'amru, when Chacham require the facial features to be human-like, afilu parts of echad mitzurfin, even one feature in his face is enough. The eye, or the eyebrows, or the, right? You don't need them all together, except for the ears, which are not included at all. L'meimro, the mechad namisagi. So you mean to say that just one feature is enough. You don't need even half the face like Chasa had presented. So we thought we had a kasha on Chasa, we don't need that much, says Abaye. No. The Bryce was going the other way. It's coming to tell you what's critical. So this Bryce was going like the Ishita, that you need the full face. The Bryce is saying, even if there's something missing, one of the features are out. Parts of Echad Tzufin is missing, is not human-like. That's critical. And, in this case, it doesn't count. So, it's not related to what Chasa was saying. Chasa was going, according to the opinion, that half the face is sufficient. And he came and explained exactly what's included in the required features, and the eye, the eyebrow, right? the meitzach, the govern, the ayin, right? But not the ears. Whereas this price was going the other direction, that chachamim amo machmir, they need a full face, and even if there's one thing missing, not that one thing's enough, even if there's one thing missing, it wouldn't work. By the same way, another teretz that we can give to resolve this apparent kind, lo'ilam kamanda amam mitzuras. This price is going like the position that the chacham only require mitzuras, you know, half the face. Umay echad, echad, echad. When the Brisa spoke about afilu parts of echad, not to say one picture choice, one feature is sufficient. One of each pair, that's what it means, which amounts to half the face. Which is exactly what Chassid told us as well. Half the face includes the eyebrow on that side, the eye on that side, the cheek, etc. Okay, so bottom line is like this. According to this new approach, the Machlekes Rameir and Chachamim, it's not like Rameir applies status to any animal-looking creature. It has to have some human resemblance. Chachamim are not satisfied with that. They need more. And we have two ways to explain. Either Rameir requires even just a little bit. Chachamim requires a substantial, you know, portion to be half the face to have that. And the other approach was Momachmir. Rameir requires half, and Rabbanon require 100% to give it human status. And the mother will be to trigger tumas later on the mother. Okay, one more piece. Amar Rava, nivra ba'ayin achas, obi yarech echad. Let's say the birth happened, and you see just one eye, you see one yarech, one thigh, one leg. So it depends. Minat sad, if it's off to the side, as it typically is. So the mother is tummy to Masleda, because it's like, you know, a partial person. Be'emtza, imatayref to you. Eye is smack in the middle, where it doesn't belong, or the yarech is in the middle. That's not a surviving entity. It's not an adam. It doesn't have the tzur of an adam. Amarava, so imatayref. Amarava, vishtinokam. Another example, the veshet, the food pipe was punctured, imatmeya. The mother is to Masleda. And Varsham explained, because even though it has trefa status, it's not going to survive, but the Rabba holds that trefa can survive for a while, so therefore it has human status, and there's tumas leida, vishti atam, or if the veshet is plugged up, there's no chance of surviving. It's a failed birth, it's not a surviving entity. Imatera, no tumas leida. It doesn't have validity. Okay. Let's recap today's daf. We spoke about Anisha, that's Mapo. Rameir says there's Tumas Leda. Rabbanu says there is no Tumas Leda. We have three ways to explain Rameir, either because of Yetzira, because of the shape of the eyes or the positioning of the eyes. We had a discussion whether Rameir, when he applies Tumas Leda to Eifos, is it limited to only the owl-like entities which have that, you know, positioning of the eyes, and not to the other bird, not to the other Eifos. We had an attempt to get Reb Zera to chuckle a little bit, which proved to be unsuccessful. And we discussed different variations of this phenomena. We discussed the Adam b'mei be'ema, what the status would be, and then we went further into the discussion between Rami and the Rabbanon, that in fact we need some human features in order for the Vlad to qualify. The question is, to what extent? Okay, all the best to you, Psuras Tevis, and Atzlocha Rabbah.